This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
I want to talk to you about how early years has been playing a big part in the work that we're doing in Islington around tackling child poverty. Some of you may know Islington well, many of you probably won't. And to many of you, Islington might simply mean the lovely shops of Upper Street, where I think you can probably buy the most expensive teapots, cups and saucers, dresses and everything else. But as soon as you walk away from Upper Street, you come to estates where we have some of the most long-standing and grinding poverty in the country. And that's a great surprise to many people, that we work in a borough that is so singularly divided. Most boroughs have a range of different kinds of people living in their borough. We have the most expensive houses in the country and some of the poorest families. So for us, child poverty is a very important aspect of our work. And why is early years so important in child poverty? Well, obviously, because as you may have read in a number of publications, advantages accumulate and so do disadvantages. Now, there are two ways of looking at this, and one is the unacceptable way, the way that says we have the wrong children in our setting, they are the ones that have the difficult families, and that's why things don't go so well. The other is to say, what are we going to do to try and make sure that we make inroads into the lives of those children, both now for the future and also now with their families, because it's a twofold piece of work. The focus very much now from the DfE is on child development in early years, and that's a very important aspect of the work. But the other aspect is around what do we do with families, and you've heard quite a lot this morning about the importance of working with families. I think the other thing I'd just like to say straight away is that under no circumstances do we think that poverty automatically leads to poor parenting. It just, I think, is that it's much more of a challenge. If you can't afford to get on the bus and go to some provision, if you can't afford to pay for the trip that other children can pay for, those are the things that do make a difference from the parents who may actually be the very best of parents. So just some information about Islington. We've got nearly 38,000 children in Islington, and just under a third of those are preschool age, so a lot of very young children. Over a third of those are headed by a lone parent, and almost half are in households where no parent is in work or they're living on low income. We've had in Islington intergenerational grinding poverty where families have just not got a tradition of working at all. And so in terms of role models for those families, it's very important for us to be thinking about getting parents out into work, not just to increase their income, but to raise the aspirations of those families and those children. So looking at some of the risk factors of living in poverty, The survey, the Household Below Average Income Survey, looked at those households that were below average, and they were either headed by a lone parent, sometimes they had three or more children, sometimes they had a disabled family member, sometimes they were from minority ethnic groups, and that varies according to locality, I think. And on many occasions, they were living in overcrowded accommodation. And again, that's another thing that we have to tackle where we're working in Islington. We've got a very high number of families who are living often in one- and two-bedroomed homes, and there's no space for the children to go out and to play. And the outdoor space is not there either, which is why being a very healthy person that swims and also cycles is important in Islington, because we do try and maintain all of our outdoor spaces and not have car parking but keep spaces that children can play in. But that's another matter. So what's the UK poverty line? When we started this work, which was a corporate piece of work, I have to say I was absolutely horrified by the level of income that these families are living on. That is what is defined as the poverty line. So when we then say that we have very high numbers living below that poverty line, I have to tell you, there are a whole lot more who are living just above that, who I would still consider to be living in poverty. And to be living as a single parent with two children on £293 a week is a very significant challenge, however good a parent you actually are. Is it that I'm slightly exaggerating this, and that Islington is not really as bad as everywhere else? Well, actually, there's only Tower Hamlets that has higher levels of poverty than we do. So it is for us a very, very significant problem. And once we recognised that, we knew that we couldn't just leave this to early years, to our children's centres, to our childminders and to others. So what we did was we set up a corporate effort that was going to deal with this. And the corporate effort took our housing benefits teams, our teams that work through the voluntary sector, our children's social care teams, and put them all into a piece of work that was going to look at how we could start making a difference to these households, both for the longer term and for the immediate future. So we started... Let me just pop back. No. We started looking at the Housing Benefit Council Tax database. And as soon as we did that, we then had identified large numbers of families that we could be talking to our children's centres about, and we could start approaching. There were initially some concerns about the use of the data, but we spoke with HMRC and we have permission to use this data. And I think that's one of the key things about this pilot, that we needed that corporate approach to be able to get agreements to use the data across the different agencies. We then set up a partnership with the voluntary sector, Islington Working for Parents, and this organisation works particularly alongside parents in order to help them to try and get into work. And we could give them the data that said these are the parents that are going to need to be contacted. We started off with the children's centres and used our children's centres outreach staff to start going out and actually knocking on doors with Islington Working for Parents. We focused very heavily on the earliest intervention possible. So we didn't just take all parents and all families. We focused on 0 to 7-year-olds within the families first, because it was just going to be too large otherwise. And we also focused on some quite soft outcomes that are quite difficult to measure around improving employability. So one of the early pieces of work was to develop a kind of self-assessment system that our staff could go out and take to the parents, so they could start assessing for themselves how ready they were to be out in employment, how confident they were as a parent, what their individual needs were, so that we could then take them through to some of the other agencies. We very much focused on trying to make this sustainable. We were fortunate. We did have funding for this. I know that I'm talking to people now who won't have the funding for doing this, but I think that the lessons that we learned from this could be applied without having lots of additional funding. So we wanted to embed the outcomes in mainstream services and make it everybody's business. And I think having that corporate approach across our whole council was the way that made that happen. I'd also like to comment about the voluntary sector and others, because we, from the very beginning, had the voluntary sector and the private providers in there in the partnership, making sure that they were giving their feedback and their point of view. So it was very much a partnership. We managed to strengthen referral pathways across all of our frontline services through this. And we did a lot of work around workforce development, making sure that our entire workforce knew that part of engaging with every parent was finding out whether or not they were in employment, whether they were seeking employment, whether they'd actually claimed benefits that they were eligible for, and so on. So this is embedded in an approach that's wider than just the use of data. Although we started with the concept of the whole child back in 2006. We moved quickly to this concept of the whole family and making sure that we had all of the family's data. And I'm going to show you a picture of all of the data that we used. If you work in a local authority or if you work wherever you work, you may have access to some of this data. What we tried to do was to bring all of these different pieces of data into one place where we had about 40,000 records from which we could then generate the information to go out and find more families that needed our service. Because way back in 2006, we were already aware that in our 16 children's centres, we were not getting to the parents that we needed to get to. And so this was one way of doing it. We then made sure that each children's centre had an action plan to address their reach and use this data. We tracked how they were doing because in the day-to-day work that you do and the interaction that you have with parents, you can quite often begin to believe that you are increasing your contact with parents and you are bringing more people in. And you do need the data to challenge that and make sure that that really is the case, because quite often it isn't yet. We then used our partnership with the voluntary sector to make sure that we were deciding which specific groups they were going to work with and which groups the children's centres could work with. And we had very much a case management style of working. So we had our social work teams involved. We had some of our teams that were also from health also involved. So as you can see, we have 16 children's centres. And I'd just like to say that we are not closing any children's centres in Islington. Because we've focused on making sure that the services that families need are still going to be available to those families. I'm also going to say controversially that I think that we've all been very fortunate for a very long time, and we have had the resources to try things out. And now if we pull the learning from the things that we've tried out and we use our money differently, I think we can still do many of the things that we have the ambition to do. That's not going to be easy, but I do think that we ought to be able to do very much of that if we learn from the things that we've done when we had that time of plenty. That might not be a popular thing to say, but anyway. Our children's centres are now located as part of multi-agency teams. So our social workers are all in teams that are focused around the children's centres. Our health visitors are based in those teams that are around the children's centres. We've also had a very innovative approach to the recruitment of health visitors because back in 2006 we were very clear that health visitors formed a very important link for our families, and quite often, having been out with health visitors, I know that a young vulnerable mother on her own who maybe had a baby 10 days ago will see the health visitor once, she'll give a leaflet and about all the things in the children's centre, and that's it. And obviously that would just go in a pile with all the other things that you have about the baby and may easily be forgotten about. So we started a pilot with King's College where we trained health visitors while they were actually being employed by us. So it was a postgraduate 3-year course that they could apply for. And they're now coming through. We have very few health visitor vacancies as a result of this, unlike many other areas of the country. It was a long-term programme, a long-term investment, and it has made a huge difference to us, and they are really key in all of this. We provide one-to-one information, advice and guidance to any of the parents that come to us about anything that they may want to know about. It may be about mental health needs, it may be about their child and child development, it might be about how they can get into work, whatever it is. And most of the people that we provide that to, as you can see, are lone parents, about half of them from minority ethnic groups, and I think that really reflects our community. A very small number of them are fathers and teenage parents. But again, I think that reflects the percentage of teenage parents that we would have in our area. We also had a school gates initiative, and I was a bit cautious about this because this money came just at the moment when all the money was disappearing. And I said to our team, let's not bother doing this. We're going to set up expectations and then we're going to withdraw them. So is it really worth it? And I lost the argument, which is a good thing, because we employed 6 parent champions who were parents in our children's centres and schools. Their aim was to bring other parents into thinking about employment. Not only have they achieved hugely with those parents, but they are now starting to get their own jobs and their own work. So this has been a pathway into work for them. They've now got references from us. They've got skills that they wouldn't have had before. And they have been fantastic advocates for other parents in starting to think about work. And as somebody spoke about earlier, those real local parents who are friends of the other parents in the schools are the ones that can really share local information. It was only based in 6 primary schools, but it really has been hugely successful. And it's the kind of thing that if we're trying to make innovative partnerships with others and with the voluntary sector, that maybe we can go on building on and funding in different ways. So is all of this working? You'll see on the right of this the chart that we used with all of the families, and it was really for them for themselves to start thinking about themselves. We surveyed a lot of the parents in the children's centres before and after, and a lot of them have got increased satisfaction in the kind of things that happen in the children's centres. I mean, that might be just a self-fulfilling thing, so I just place it there for you to think about. However, we've engaged 895 parents, and I think that it's difficult to immediately say, therefore, results at the foundation stage have gone up. You can't do that. But I'm quite convinced that we've made a difference to many of those families through bringing them in and engaging them. 455 have started on this employability pathway and started to think about how am I going to get out into the workplace as my child starts school. As you can see, 203 have gone into training and 42 of them have actually started work. That's really excellent for those families. And that doesn't mean that we're focusing on getting parents into work instead of looking after their children. So I don't see that as the idea at all. But it is about role models and it is about moving those parents on in their confidence. And we've done a lot of referrals to our income maximisation team. And you will know if you work in a children's centre how incredibly complicated it is for any parent to claim benefits, get the right benefits that can then fund the childcare and so on. And so that's something that we're going to try to continue to provide in these difficult times. We've tried to embed it in the work that we do right across the piece with all of our corporate partners. And so we've trained 350 of our own staff internally on how, particularly on information around benefits claims and people getting into work, because that's an area that again and again parents want information about. And I think we've helped frontline services to understand child poverty better, so that I hear less of it's the wrong children and more of how can we tackle these difficulties. We've changed our service level agreements with the children's centres so that we've got targets around this. We've now got our staff also attending Job Centre Plus meetings, and Job Centre Plus have been a really active partner throughout all of this. And we now promote children's centre activities in our job centres. At this last item, there's 3 of our staff here, so I have to be absolutely truthful and honest about this last item. This is not yet a focus, but I do feel that it's very important that we do focus on fathers and fathers getting out into work. In some areas that might not be so much of a challenge, but for us, with long-standing intergenerational unemployment, one of the key things is to make sure that fathers are actually out there in the workplace, and not just to focus on the lone mothers who actually we probably have easier access to. And what else works? We're not doing this in a vacuum. We also have a nurse family partnership. We do have early childhood education for our low-income 3- and 4-year-olds, and we know that that works. The Allen Report has listed a very significant number of interventions that work, which I'll comment on in a minute. And obviously, the work that you're doing, focusing more on child development, is the other side of this. But some of the critical success factors I think we know and we've learned from Islington is that you have to have high-quality environments that you're bringing families into, and the level of staff training is critically important. We've invested hugely in the amount of training that all of our staff in children's centres have, and also the training for our childminders and others. I think we need to target even more the at-risk groups, and so that balance between universal and targeting is something that we'll need to do work on. And then there's this controversial area where if there are programmes that through longitudinal studies we know work, then they need to be delivered with fidelity. And when you work in a children's centre, or I'm by background, I'm a teacher, and I, as a teacher, used to see new ideas, take them on, make them my own. That's the very important thing, make them my own, and they turned into something else. And I think what we've learned over time is that many of these programmes work best if they're done to the letter and not made our own, but done in a way that really does keep to the spirit of the programme, because that's the thing that does make a difference. And I think that's going to be quite a challenge for those of us that work in early years or in schools and other places, because it's not always quite the way that we've worked in the past. So that's something for us to be thinking about for the future. And at that point, I'll leave that with you.
Thank you very much, Alan.